Okay, Shkach. So we're going to talk about Vidui Masros. You know what that is? What's Vidui Masros? Anyone know what Vidui Masros is? Okay, good. First, no clue. Okay. So in Parsh Kisavo, in Perach Havav, the Pasuk says, Kisachala la'asor es kol maser tvoscha b'shana shlishis shnasa maser. When you finish tithing, all the grains at the on the third year, shnasa maser, v'nasata la'levi la'ger li'asom v'lamana, and you give out all the tithes to the Levi, to the stranger, to the poor person, to the widow, to the orphan, the widow, and they're going to eat in your gates and they'll be satiated. So apparently you finished separate, right? You have to separate Trumos and Masros, right? In the 7-year Shemitah cycle, so every year, well, the 7th year you don't do anything. You don't grow. First year, what do you give? What do you give every year? You have to separate, you know what you have to separate every year? You have to separate Truma every year. Who does that go to?
Cohen.
Good, okay. So that you can give him the smallest amount. Chazal say average is to give like 2%. That's they say, 1/50th, okay? Then every year you have to give what's next? What's next? Maaser Rishon. Okay, you have to give Maaser Rishon. How much is that? Maaser?
10th,
okay. It's actually 9.8% of the total, right? Because you're giving 2% to the, I'm like, coffee. You're giving 2% to the Kohen. 10% afterwards. So, okay, so then you give that to the Levi. You got to the Levi. And then it depends. In the first and second year, so you've given away about 10%. Right? In first, the 1/50th, and then you give 10% of what's left. And then you give another 10%, and the first and second and fourth and 50th of the Shemitah cycles, what's the next, what it's called Maaser Sheni. What do you do with that? What do you do with Maaser Sheni? Maaser Sheni, so there you have to either you have to bring the food to Yerushalayim and eat it there, or you have to redeem it and take the money to Yerushalayim and use it there, okay, for certain things. Okay? And the third and sixth year Shemitah cycle, you give what's called Maaser
Ani.
Give it to the poor. So Yerushalayim was out over the poor in terms of the tithing, okay? So basically you give about 20% of your yield to different things. And there are other things, you know, they have to give, but you give about 20%. And then, basically, at the end of the third year, now, the Rambam writes, and so in the second source, he said, we're going back to the Psukim, but he basically, the way it's calculated is that it's in the fourth year. If you look in the Rambam, it's complicated how we get there, but the Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah saseh, there's a mitzvah to confess before God. After you've given out, now you have to separate the stuff and say, I'm giving this to the Kohen, this to the Levi, this to the poor person, whatever. You have to make the separation, and then you actually have to, not only have to separate, what you have to do? You have to give it. Right? Now, there's two different aspects. You're sort of separating this amount is going, and at some point you have to give it. You have to use it before certain times without getting into the details. And then he says, and then after you separate all of it, what do? You make this declaration, and that's called Vidui Maaser. And he says, in the Halacha Beis, Vein Maisvadi Vidui Zeh Ela Achar Shana Shemafrishi Ba Maaser Ani. And you do this Vidui after the year where you separate Maaser Ani. So you separate Maaser Ani in the third and the sixth year. Okay, and then, and he cites the pasuk. And when do you do that? On mincha and halacha gimel, in mincha on yom tov achron shel pesach shel revius v'shel shviyus. So you make this declaration on year 4 of the Shemitah cycle and year 7 on the last day of Pesach, saying, "I not only designated stuff for Truma Maaser, but I gave it. I got rid of everything. Got rid of everything. Okay. And what do you say?" In Pasuk Yudgimel, V'yamarta lefnei Hashem Elokecha, B'yarti min HaKodesh min HaBayis. I cleaned out, I got rid of all the holy stuff from my house. V'gamasativa Levi l'gerli yosof alamon. I gave what to the Levi, to the stranger, to the orphan, to the widow. K'chol mitzvah scha asher tzivisana. I did all the mitzvahs that you commanded me. Lo avarti mitzvah sech lo shechachti. I didn't violate anything and I didn't forget anything. Lo achalti ba'oni mimenu. I didn't eat any of the holy foods when I was in a state of aninus, by God forbid, lost the parent, that you're an one canid kachim. That's post death, pre-burial. Lo biarti betame. I didn't get rid of it when I was in state of tuma. I didn't use it for a mace, for a corpse, for a tachrichin, for shrouds, some of the stuff. Shemati bekol Hashem alkacha alkai. I listened to Hashem. Asisi kachosh tzvada. I did everything you commanded me, God. Basically, what do you do? This is like you're telling God, I did everything. I did everything right. And then pasuk tezva, because I did everything right. Hashkivi mom kachcham in Hashemayim, God, I want you to look from your heaven, from the heaven. Uber baruch asamcha Yisrael, you should bless your people, the Jewish people. Evesa adama, the land should asat alanu that you gave to us. Kasher nishpat lavaseinu, as you promised our forefathers. Eretz zavas chaluvash. Okay, so you make this declaration. You don't only do the mitzvah. You don't only separate all. You don't give out all this stuff you're supposed to give out. You're supposed to afterwards. Twice every 7 years, you make a declaration, I got rid of everything. Now, why do you have to make the declaration? In other words, you say, shofar is coming up, Shorosh is coming up. You don't just blow the shofar and say, God, guess what I just did? I just blew the shofar. Guess what? I sat at the sukkah. I just ate kosher food, you know? So like, this is there's a mitzvah to separate all truvos and maaseros, and then there is a mitzvah to say, I did it. Why is there a mitzvah to say, I did it?
And even more, by a lot of mitzvahs, you say before you do it, you say, I'm about to do this mitzvah.
I mean, the Hareini Mucha Mezuman.
Yeah.
That's not a Torah obligation.
Okay.
That's the ad kavod. I mean, there is a bracha. There's something called a birchas ha-mitzvah, where you're making a declaration that what I'm about to do, I'm not simply waving this palm branch, I'm doing this because God said so. So that's a bracha, and that's a rabbinic. Birchas HaTorah might be biblical. Everything else is definitely rabbinic. But this is a declaration. It's not a bracha. It's just, God, I did it right. Check, 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 I did it right. Why do we do that? Hey, Judah. Why do we do that? Why do we make...
When you wrote that you're acknowledging, you're verbalizing it.
Okay. But I'm saying, why do we do that with everything?
It's an amunah thing, right? You're giving up something that you have, right? You know, right. You're not just sitting in a sukkah or whatever. You know what I mean? You're taking something.
So when you have to make that declaration that you did it, what might that motivate you to do? I mean, the fact that you have to make that declaration afterwards...
Probably, I think that probably the fact is that 20% every 7 years...
It depends. No, every year you have to give 20%.
Every year 20%?
Every year you have to give 20%.
So even then, 20% is very difficult, I think it's very difficult.
Okay, so when you make the declaration,
it's going to force you to check your calculations.
Right, now there's sometimes we're willing sort of to do things but cut corners, but when you make someone say it, then look at the Sefer HaChinuch, right? Third source. Mishar Shei Mitzvah, the roots of the mitzvah. Lefi sheskula sa'adam v'godo shivcho, because hu adibor. You know what's our greatest treasure? Our speech. Shu yeserbo al kol midan nivrim. Because what we have that other creatures don't have is the power of speech. Sheilu mitzad yeser atinos gam shar balichami tano kamo. Animals also can do other kind of movements like us. Okay? Valken yesharbe bnei adam she yureyam milifsol diburav. There are some people, I mean, it's probably not a good time to say this nowadays, because, you know, nowadays, like, everyone's like, fake news, and everything, like, people don't take truth that seriously, but, like, there was a point in time, believe it or not, where people, like, they might be willing to cut corners, but their speech, they're not willing to, when they say something, their word is their, you know, there's their treasure. And he says, there's some people who would be willing to say, you know, who are willing to do things that are not appropriate, but my word is my, like, bond, and my word is, like, you know, my honor. I would not go against that. You have these stories, like, you know that story in this in the Navi of, what was his name? Yiftach? With Yiftach, where he said, what? With his daughter, yeah. He said, the next thing that comes to my house, I'm going to offer sacrifice to God, and his daughter comes out. It's a question what he did. I'm afraid to debate what he did, but to her. But he didn't want to go to annul the vow. My word is my, I live by my word.
He didn't want to go, and also he didn't want to go to him and tell him you can.
Yeah. So there's a whole power play. Like, yeah. Shmuel didn't want to come to, or Shmuel's the Navi there. Or the Navi didn't want to come to, or maybe it's Pinchas. The Navi didn't want to come to him. He didn't want to come to Navi. Okay, so there's a power play there. But, so he says, Uviyos, Inyan Amasu, Vatrumos, Dover God. It's a big thing. You got 20% to give away. Vigam Kiba, Tulia, Michias, Mishar, Seokel. And by the way, that's how they live, right? Their income is based on this. So this is very important. Haya Mechasadav, Aleinu, Kadeshalo Nechte, Bahen, Lazirenu, Aleim, Lafish, Osam. So we don't want to sin. In other words, we don't want to sin. We want to provide income for the Levium, and maybe also to help for the poor. I mean, this time with the Levium, the Meshar Sekel, but also for the poor. Lahafish Osam, Shaloli, Gavados, Bam, Fall. So we to warn us that we don't sin, to use that stuff. Begam Shinaidal, it's made of Bafino. So we're going to testify with our mouths, Bebeis HaKadosh, Bebeis HaKadosh, at our holy house. You're going to do it in Yerushalayim, Bebeis HaKadosh, the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Because you're going to say before Hashem your God. So it's going to come to the Mikdash.
So this is in the Beis HaMikdash, yeah, that you need to make that declaration?
Yeah, you need the declaration. And then, Shalosh HaKadosh, that we didn't lie, Veloi Kavnu Davar Mehem, and we didn't withhold anything. So we be careful. So this declaration that we did everything that God said to motivate us to separate everything, to give us away. But that's not my share. I'm asking one question. I'm going to give six answers. Thanks. Five or six answers. Question is, what this is called Vidoy Maser. This is called Vidoy Maser. Okay, you're making a declaration that I tithe my produce. Now, I gave a shir and shal shudas last Shabbos about vidoy. What is vidoy?
Confession.
There's when you think of vidoy, when do you do vidoy?
You
did something wrong. You did something wrong, and so the Rambam says when someone sins and they want to do tshuva, what do? So they recognize that they sin, they have remorse over their sin, they resolve the sin in the future, and then they make a declaration about these facts, and that's called vidui. Vidui is confession. Now, confession implies you did something wrong. Here I'm saying, I did everything right. Why is this called confession? Okay? So some approaches are basically, yeah, you did something wrong, now we have to figure out what you did that was wrong, or maybe you did something right, but then why is it called vidui, right? Now, so we got to work in one of two directions. It seems you did something right, but it's called vidui, so either we have to find something you did wrong, or we say, no, you did it right, then we ask, why is it called vidui, okay? So answer number one. I think we have, how many answers? I think I have six answers, okay? So hopefully, I'm giving six answers. Hopefully there'll be at least one that you like that you can share at the Shabbos table. So you can space out for five and you can focus on, but you're not going to know which one you like, so you have to focus on all of them. Okay. So the first one, I'm not so excited about, but it's the things I found. But what I found. Minchas Chinuch, but no, he's bothered by this. You see, Minchas Chinuch says, so v'ala b'dati lomar, and I want to say, no, it's a good answer, just not an, it's not an exciting answer, at least my opinion. The Efshar, the Mitzvahs Vidui, he says, you don't say vidoy. You don't make this declaration if you actually did everything correctly and you gave everything at the right time. You have to separate Shuvas and Masur, and you have to give it before what's called Shasa Bir. You have to give it before a certain time. Okay? And then at the end of the fourth and seventh year, then you said, oh, I did everything according to the halacha. So the Minchas Chinuch says, by the way, you don't say this if you did everything correct. And then he said, if you did everything correctly, why are you going to confess? Confession is when you did something wrong. He didn't commit a sin at all. Why is it called vidui maser? And he said, "Ayin betosos yom tov shemei b'shem hachacham sforni atam the nikra vidui." It's called vidui. He said, "V'hu derech hapshat rak im hisha hamatanos umavaron." If you delayed the gifts and when you got rid of them, Az misvada la'achar bir. Then you make the confession after the beer, after the time when you're supposed to get rid of it. The shayach loshon vidui she'omer, and vidui, it makes sense to say vidui, that you say, avshlosa karoi, even though you didn't do it correctly, mikom tikein ubir akodesh, you still fixed it. You gave it to the rightful owners. Meaning, he's saying that you would only do vidui in the fourth and seventh year if you missed the deadline. You got some, you know, points taken off. You know, you handed in the assignment late. You got some points taken off. But you still make the confession. You make the declaration, I did everything. But you do the vidui. You say it's, you make some kind of vidui that when you were late. So it's an interesting answer, but the interesting is it seems the simple of the pasuk is you do vidui, you say you, first of all this whole vidui is you did everything right. So I guess he's Minchasim is saying that when the Mishnah set calls his vidui baser, he means you say something else that you didn't do. So it's an interesting answer because he's bothered by the fact, or you only say this vidui, or maybe you only say this vidui when you did it, but you did it late.
But wouldn't you say it then every time?
So he's saying you wouldn't say it every time. You wouldn't make this vidui every time, which is...
No, I'm saying every time that you're late or whatever.
No, because you only make this declaration at the end of the fourth and seventh
year. That's what I'm saying. If it was because you
no,
messed
no,
up.
No, in other words, there's a time every year that you have to get rid of the Truas and Masras.
Right.
So let's say in year one you did it late, or year two you did some stuff late. But again, you're not going to make this... You make the vidui only...
But
in year four.
If it was because you're late, then it would make more sense.
They do right away
when you do it.
Yeah, so I think this is, but this is more of a general thing. Okay, but anyway,
what's the source for it? I think you were saying it seems like everyone says it.
Right. Yeah, he's bothered, he's bothered by the fact that vidui is generally do something wrong. So you have to pick your point.
What's like textual source for
that? Yeah. So maybe he says. Right. I don't think there is a textual source other than they call it the vidui. Maybe it's because Asisi kichol, I did it almost what you, maybe the word kichol, I did it similar to what it is.
I mean, must it be just later? Could it be that it still requires some level of improvement?
Right, but...
Because it wasn't as good as it could have been.
Right. There's no real text. The real textual evidence is the fact that they're calling it vidui, but it's not a text. So you can say, I did everything. In other words, I did something that's acceptable even though it's not ideal. Okay, but you're right. That's the challenge with it. The Sfardo wants to say that Biarti Kosh Bina Bias, Bachata'edu Uvavonos Avoseinu Husra Ha'avoda Mi'abachoros. Because of our sins and the sins of our forefathers, the Avoda was removed from the firstborns. Asher Lahem Ha'yu Ru'uyos Trumos and Masros. They were supposed to get the Trumos and Masros. So he wants to say, what's the Vidui? What's the Vidui? You know, every time that we give Truman Samasro, so we make some declaration, we hearken back to original sin. And by the way, there's original sin of...
That's Christological.
No, we believe in original sin.
No, I know.
Adam Rishon. By the way, there's original sin of mankind, and there's also original sin of Bnei Yisrael. So the Cheda Egal is, I forgot who says this, but... I learned in Masechet Sanhedrin, it's a Hedrin Shir, I forgot all the sources that I do, but there was one source that he talked about how that the Cheda Egel is connected. We talked about this, the golem that Yeravim built. It was connected to the Cheda Egel, and there's some line about how every sin is somehow connected back to Cheda Egel. But so I think what we're saying here is that when you give the Truas of Masros, you're saying, you know, it's great, but we're still remembering that really. The firstborn should have gotten the Trumos and Masros because they really should have served in the Mikdash if they wouldn't have sinned by the golden calf. So again, it's not, you know, we're trying, he's looking for a sin. So that's it, he's finding. In other words, I did everything, but there's vidui because it's not the optimal. Optimal is that every family should have someone who's serving the Mikdash. There should be a Bechor. All right, what do? We took a segment of the population to do it instead of every family. Okay, not so exciting. The Hamik Davar says that the Tziv wants to say that when you're making this declaration, you're not only talking about that I did everything that Hashem commanded you with respect to this. You're saying, I did all your mitzvos. And lo avarti b'sasech v'lo shachachti. I didn't forget anything. So the Tziv wants to say, no, that people, that everyone sins. And he says that maybe, he says, lo avarti mitzvosecha, means haydu b'maasei nizharti b'chol ha-mitzvos. B'emikum maasei b'em b'isra lo tasei. What you're really doing here is that you are making a declaration that you're following the halacha. It's not simply about maser, but I try to be careful with all the mitzvos. But he said, "Aval shayach ledibur peh rak lo shachakti." When it comes to speech, then all you can say, it's basically saying that I did all the actions correctly. But when it comes to speech, you say I didn't forget, meaning I didn't forget to recite brachos. "Aval beisar dibur lashon hara." I can't say that I didn't speak Lashon Hara, because everyone speaks Lashon Hara. So he's reading into this whole thing, this whole vidoy, as you're not merely making a declaration of separating Trumos and Masros, but you're actually making a declaration about generally following the observances, and you can't make a declaration about speech, because we all fail Lashon Hara. I don't think it's too comfort or not. But that's what he's saying. So in other words, these first three approaches are basically trying to say that within this vidur, you're trying to see something negative. That being said, there's another way to look at this. I'm going to give what I think is a little more exciting answers. Okay, so the Bavli basically says that Rav Yochai Omer, Adam Omer Shivcho B'Kol Namuch U'Gnuso B'Kol Rav, that when you want to say your own praise, you should say it quietly. Do the right thing. But don't boast about it. When you're saying something negative that happened to you, then you can maybe mention it more loudly. Shivcho b'kol namach. What does it mean? Say your own praise with something quietly. I mean vidur maser, because the Torah just says va'anisa. I'm sorry, va'amarta. Just va'amarta. And you should say, what does it say? Pasuk says va'amarta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. You should say it. Don't go on and on about how great you are, that you did separate Trumos and Masros. However, Gnuso, when you talk about how you were enslaved in Egypt and all the bad things that happened, you're thanking Hashem for it, that's B'kol Rav. Because the Pasuk says, by Bikurim, V'anisa V'amarta, V'anisa B'kol Rav, say it loudly. Clearly, the Bryce is here saying that the Vidur Maser is, you're praising yourself. He's saying Vidui, but it's praising. So how is Vidur praising? So maybe Vidur is not necessarily what we think it is. So I'm going to share with you Aznaim Torah, Rav Kook, and Rav Soloveitchik. Okay? Says the Zayim Torah. Zayim Torah basically says, why is it called Vidur Maser? Says, you're misvadim, you're confessing, you're admitting. Shekibu kol dine Trumos Masros. That you followed all the halachos of Trumos Masros. So the Torah, it seems, ain't chashivus the Vidur Kazab. There's no importance to this vidoy. Kevan she'enu baal shum chait. There's no sin. Why are we calling vidoy? Avakama me'antabo. But when you examine it near esahafek, it seems the opposite. Ki yoser kal lomar lifnei Hashem ashamnu b'ganu milomar lefanav yisparach asisi kachosher tivitzari. You know, it's easier to tell God I sinned than it is to tell God I did it all correctly. Why? Ubiprat binyane trumos masos and tzedakah l'aniyim. Certainly, when it comes to tzedakah trumos masos, it's much easier to tell God that you sinned than you did it right. Why? Why? Why is it easier to say you sinned than you did it right? Why is it easier?
It's going to cost you more if you do it right.
So the God, and therefore, what? But why is it harder for you to say you did it right? Because then, what do you have to do?
You have to do it right.
Yeah. Now, sometimes confession is actually the easier route. Yeah. In other words, confession is sometimes, because what are you telling God? Okay, I'm hopeless. I did it wrong. I mean, there's something to that and saying you were wrong. But what can I do, God? I'm a bad person. You know, like people get together. It's okay. Okay, you admitted it. It's good enough, right? So what he writes here, Sharei Misvada Va'ober Hashem Gadu Az Ibe Emes Adavar Haru Misvada Chato Bischarin Alev Uvakesh Bechila. If someone says Hashem Gadu, then if it's true, he's confessing his sins, he regrets, and he asks for mercy. Vim Hifriz Alamida Veimo Mashi Misvada Lo Yonash. You know what? And if he exaggerates too much, I sinned, he didn't really sin that much. Okay, big deal. He's not going to get punished. He admitted. Pretty easy. It's great. Eloi said that Sharei ain't tzaddik bar shel yatsu tov leyachta. Everyone's going to sin. Aval kama tzarich adam liyo zahir lo bar lefnei hayodei kol masa b'nei adam v'chol bach shvoseihem. Shabbati b'kol Hashem elokai shechak. Should be asisi. It's the word I typed it wrong. Asisi kol Hashem tivisari. It's much harder to tell God I did everything correct. you have to do tshuva in order to do everything correct. In other words, what he's saying is, what the Zayim Torah is saying is that exaggerating our accomplishments creates a sense of responsibility to ensure that our resume is accurate. What you're really doing here in this is you're making a checklist of everything that you did. We confess that we did a good job, and that's going to, the fact that we have to do a good job is going to force us to do tshuva and make sure we do a good job. That's the way he's looking at it. It's not like your standard confession, I did something bad. No, I did everything right. But that's going to force you to do tshuva. That's going to force you beforehand. In other words, making this statement is a sort of confession that I did tshuva. I got it right, meaning I corrected every mistake that I made. Now, it's like the final step to sort of saying, I rectified every problem that I did, and I got it right. And in fact, making this statement is actually very difficult. I did it all right. So that's like, in other words, but by the way, when you think about this, in terms of when you're coming to God on Rosh Yom Kippur, right, in some sense, it's easier to say, I'm sorry, God, than to say, you know what, I did it right. Because it requires a little gaiva. But we should try to, but on the other hand, we should try to have that little gaiva. We should work towards that gaiva. Not real gaiva. But it's easier just to say, I'm sorry, I'll try better next time, than really working to say, you know what, God, I worked hard on this and I got it right. Because it requires some audacity to say that. But you know what? Sometimes the Torah is commanding us to do that. Sometimes, because we can actually get off scot-free if all we have to say is, I'm sorry, as opposed to, I did it right. If Hashem is telling us that we have to say we did it right, oh boy, we got to make sure we did it right. Okay? So that's a Zayim Torah. That's one take. Interesting, right? Got another good one for you. Rav Kook. Says Rav Kook. Rav Kook says the following. Sorry, Chadam. You know what? Sometimes you got to be happy with what you did. Shouldn't always be so negative all the time. I'm sorry. Vido and this, Vido and that. I'm sorry. Confession is always so negative. We got to be positive. We got to be happy. Alkein kishem sheyesh toelas gedola tikun nefesh bevido avodos. You know what? Sometimes there's a major purpose at times to fix our soul with the confession of our sins. Gab yesh, kein yesh gam kein toelas leprakim kvuim. At times, there are some fixed times, she'amnam, rechokim heim, ve'enam tedirim, kol kach kevira shel chatai. Right? There are some times that it's not, sometimes you need, right? You need to confess your sins. You know, you want to get better, you got to confess your sins. Avol liprakim, timsa toelas, sometimes we need to come to God and we need to say, make ourselves feel good. That's an interesting thing. Like sometimes when you come to Yom Kippur, what's going to motivate you to do good, to feel totally worthless? Sometimes you have to come to God and you have to say, you know what? I did this right. You know, I think I spoke about this once. That like someone came up with this idea of like, coming to God, don't just come with the Shem of God and Gonzalo. I think someone came up with this like an Aleph Beis. It might be Rabbi Avi Weiss came up with something about like, come with things that you did good also. Like, you gotta feel good about yourself also. Like, don't always feel. It depends. At the end of the day, the question is, what's gonna motivate you to be better? All right? Is it the checklist forcing you to say, I did good? Or maybe sometimes to look at yourself and say, you know what? I'm looking at where I was last year, look at this year, and like, I'm sure many of us, I'm speaking for myself, there are some things that I try to work on every single year and I come back and oh gosh, I messed up again, same thing again. It can feel very disillusioning and I really try. But you know what? Also come to your kipper and say, but you know what? I did this a little better. I really try to think about where I was last year and you know what? There were some things I did better. We should always feel so sad about ourselves. And if Cook says, you got to work on, like, we're not necessarily where we were last year. You know what? I did this thing, I did that thing, and we have to work on, you know, it's like there are some people who say, you know, tell me, you know, let's say they do at their table every dinner time. They'll say, you know what, tell me one thing that you're grateful for, you know, tell me one good thing that you want to share with your family that you did good today. Tell me one good thing, because other people, There are many bad things in the world, and there are many good things in the world. There's both. Okay, it's the question: what are we focusing on the whole time? It's important at times to feel. You know, sometimes we need to feel think negatively in order to prop ourselves up. But you know what? It might be nice every single day. Think about, I did this good thing. Don't go to sleep before you can think of one good thing that you did. Because sometimes you think about, oh, I'm this bad, that bad. Don't go to sleep until you say, I did this one good thing to someone today. I did one good thing today. Don't go to sleep until you're saying, I'm grateful for one thing. If you have all these horrible things happen to your life. One good thing, this, one good thing, that. And I think it's the message of Rav Kook.
This is classic Rav Kook.
This is Rav Kook, of course. Yeah, this is classic Rav Kook. This is Rav Kook. Father of Soloveitchik. Soloveitchik, and this actually ties to a little bit I was saying in my Shal Shinnah last Shabbos. Soloveitchik says the following. A basic principle of Jewish thinking regarding repentance and confession is reflected in this nomenclature, in this statement of Vidur, Maestros. Repentance is predicated on two principles. First, on the power within men to be able to accuse themselves and their ability to think of themselves as unworthy and inferior. If you always think that you're great, you're not going to do tshuva. You have to realize, you know what? I did bad things. In our declaration on Yom Kippur, and you are justified for all that befalls us, for you have acted faithfully and we've acted wickedly, emerges the expression of self-accusation. We have to have the strength to accuse ourselves. Second, on the ability of each individual to cleanse himself, to comprehend the boundless hidden spiritual powers which are found in the human personality, which propel one in the direction of return to the sovereign of the universe, on the ability of man to elevate himself to majestic heights even after he has sunk into the abyss of impurity. Now, in other words, you have to be, in order to do tshuva, it's also classical Soloveitchik, you have to, number one, really accuse yourself of things. You have to really be honest with yourself and see where you've fallen short, what's expected of you, and what's the reality where you're falling short. At the same time, you have to be able to recognize your potential. You have to do both. Okay? The second principle is just as important as the first. A man obviously cannot engage in tshuva if he does not have the boldness to admit that he has sinned. Without recognition of the sin, there could be no regret. Yet there could be no commitment for the future if you have no faith in your ability to rise above the sins you've committed. If you believe that you're helpless and subservient to natural mechanical force will pull you downward, if you're not convinced of the freedom of the human creative act, then you cannot feel your own guilt and you will not change. If we look upon ourselves as an impotent creature, then the position of the sinner is helpless. Basically, he said, man declares, the last few lines, man declares through the recital of these verses that he is willing to live in accord with the will of the sovereign of the universe, to live a life of sanctity and purity. If he has manifested his power to fulfill the will of Hashem in fulfilling this mitzvah, then Hashem has the right to demand that he demonstrate the strength under all circumstances. In other words, something right. I skipped the line here. The praise of man, just as his shame, is part of confession. In other words, what Rav Soloveitchik is saying is essentially that vidui, saying that I did this, meaning I am capable. When you make the statement of vidui masros, you are saying that I am capable. This is part of teshuva. Part of teshuva is, it may not be like right now you're doing tshuva, but I think what Rav Soloveitchik is saying is that he's making the statement here. The Chazal making the statement here that part of teshuva. Part of teshuva is being able to do vidui that I sinned, and vidui is I'm capable of doing good. Okay. So again, so the first three approaches. Again, I'm not as excited about them. Gedolim came up with them. The first three approaches are searching for some kind of sin in vidui masros. Either it's only in a case where you didn't do the job 100%, like you missed the deadlines, or maybe you're reminding yourself of the fact that the tshuva masros should have gone to the bechor. You're remembering that the sin of the bechor, of the fact that the bechor was sin, and that's why they don't do the avoda. And the tshuva masros go to the levim instead, the kohanim. And or maybe you're mentioning that I did everything right, generally speaking, but you can't say that I was perfect in terms of lashon hara. So that's an tzib. But maybe if you view this as positive, so really according to the Zayim of the Torah, you're basically, it's forcing you to do tshuva. By making the statement that I did everything right, it's forcing you to make sure you did everything right. Corner of Cook, this is a vidur, but it's a vidur of good. Usually vidur is negative. Usually vidur confession after sin, but sometimes you need to say I did things right. Okay, we do things good. We need that also. And Soloveitchik is saying that this vidur is really, there are really two parts of vidui. And both of them are important to do tshuva. There's the vidui, generally speaking, that the boldness to accuse ourselves, and also confidence that I did it right. This is also considered part of vidui.